From local to global, we bring you the best conversations with your favorite athletes and Olympians.
This is the Olympics.com podcast.
Welcome to this Olympics.com podcast. Tom and crew in the barrel with you as we ride the wave of Olympic surfing in the program again at Paris 2024 after debuting at the Olympic Summer Games Tokyo 2020. The Paris 2024 surfing competition will be held nowhere near Paris, but halfway across the world in a spectacular setting, almost down under in the fabled waters of Chiapu off Tahiti, known to all who work those waters as the ultimate in reef surfing.
Actually, when you're surfing reef, you're a bit more careful because it is reef.
We'll explore that term compared to sand surfing with our guest Yolanda Hopkins.
I think I'm quite ruthless in the water.
She's making her second Olympics appearance, representing Portugal again after making the quarterfinals at Tokyo 2020.
So when I qualified, obviously I was over the moon, super excited, but I think it only actually sunk in when I got there and was at the village.
To give you an overview of where the chase to surf in the Paris 2024 Olympics stands right now, total gender equity at these games reflected also in the surfing competition, 46 quota spots, 23 for men, 23 for women already awarded through qualification, the final two coming via universality choices.
Olympics.com podcast.
So that brings us to our guest, 25-year-old Yolanda Hopkins, two-time European surfing champion. She's won a bunch of other places, but most importantly, Yolanda earned a Paris 2024 quota spot for the Portuguese National Olympic Committee again, her second Olympics, with that awesome performance at the recent ISA World Surfing Games. So happy to welcome Yolanda to this Olympics.com podcast. Nice to meet you. Thanks for spending some minutes with us.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
Give us an up-to-the-minute report. How are you feeling now, you know, 4 months or so to Paris 2024?
I mean, life has been good. I mean, you just said it. I just got my second European champ trophy after I qualified. So it's been like a good start of the year. I have a couple months till the Olympics, but it's going to be hectic. I'm going to head to Australia in a week or so, and I start with the challenges. So I barely have any time free, to be honest. I'm in between the challenges. I'm going to do a training camp in Tiupu to get to know the wave because I've never been, but I'm super excited. I love barrels, even more backhands because I'm a regular foot. So I can't wait. I'm super excited.
Yeah. What does your training consist of these days? Take us through a typical day. And it may vary day to day. I get that.
Actually, I have quite a boring routine, but I love it because I'm away such a long time, at a time. When I come home, I love to. So I wake up in the morning quite early, way before first light. I go training in the gym because I have my own gym at my house. I train, I get like a power smoothie for my breakfast and then head straight out to the sea. And I end up surfing probably 3 to 4 times a day. Wow. And then training again, like twice in the afternoon. So that's like a normal day for me. I love being in that routine. I love having the routine at home to be able to do that.
For sure. And are there, when you're in the water, obviously you're trying new things, but there's some basics you do sort of, you know, by rote to make sure you're checking those boxes. What is it ever different in the water? Are you doing, what's that like?
I try to keep kind of the same mindset and the same approach. I mean, we always try and improve on ourselves. And I think the improvement comes when you do so much of what you already know. You start to tweak a bit this turn and a tweak a bit that turn. So it ends up being like quite a prolonged process. It's not like, yeah, when you go for airs and stuff, yeah, you have to kind of have the mindset to just go in the ocean to do airs. But it's not my main focus at the moment. Obviously, I don't think Tiupu is really good for airs, but... no, just the routine is really good. Just keep kind of having the same baseline of the surfing and just tweak a little bit each turn at a time.
I mean, all of us, I've played sports forever and competitively at levels, and we all have days where practice was great. We nailed it. And then we have those days where we get off and we're like, that sucked.
Yeah, there's a couple. I think surfing is a bit trickier because sometimes it's not just based on you. It's based on Mother Nature as well.
So yes, right.
Ends up being a little bit both, but I reckon I can, it won't ever be a full day. I can almost always like shrug it off. Okay, this is a bad session. It was me, but the ocean wasn't making it easy either. I go, I check the mistakes. We have a debrief with my coach and then just go back out with a clean mindset for another session. Maybe even surf something way different than we were just surfing to try to get rid of that bad energy.
And you have to become a bit of a meteorologist, don't you? It's crazy how your sport is really dependent on the winds, which way, overcast or sunny or all that stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. I sometimes think that I'm the weather woman because everybody asks me, because as a day-to-day, I have to check a couple of times a day what if the winds change, if the swell angle changed, but the tides. But it's actually quite cool to have that in our toolbox as a professional surfer. It's really good.
How is this second run-up to the Olympics different?
I mean, I think because I've already been. And when I first qualified for Tokyo, I didn't know what it was the whole fuss about. Because surfing had never been in the Olympics. So right. It wasn't like when I started surfing, I just thought, I'm going to improve my best to get to the Olympics. It wasn't a choice. You always look to the best self for that. So when I qualified, obviously I was over the moon, super excited. But I think it only actually sunk in when I got there and was at the village and we did the opening ceremony with all the teams coming up from under the stadium. That was when like it really hit me. So when I qualified this time, I already had that feeling. I already know how it felt. So I think it was like twice as strong emotionally. And it was a goal that I wanted to achieve since I've been to Tokyo. And I was super thrilled. I think it was one of the happiest moments of my life.
Well, it should be. That's great. What did you learn from Tokyo 2020 that is now crucial in your prep for Paris or Tahiti?
Just the intensity. When I was at the Olympics, I saw how almost every sport works on, like, all the athletes are working 100% all the time. And us surfers, we're like, we kind of have it a bit more chilled out. But that was never the way I went about it. I always try to give 110% to do more than everybody else because I knew it's a tough sport and it's tough to make it. But once I've been there and I saw that, I just like, surfing is a part of the Olympic sport. So we have to train just as bad as all these other Olympic athletes. So I think I did bring that into my own like training sessions and managed to follow through and keep up with a higher rate of training.
That's great. You know, first time you kind of alluded to this, Tokyo, happy to be a once and forever Olympian. Is there a more specific goal this time? I mean, quarterfinals is great, but I kind of know how you're wired.
Yeah, most people who kind of know me already know that I don't go for anything less than the win. And no matter where I'm from, I can be a little bit of an underdog, but I want the gold medal. It is no two ways about it. I want to go to Tupu and win it, like any other comp.
Main difference between sand surfing and reef surfing?
I think actually, when you're surfing reef, you're a bit more careful because it is reef, but you tend to hurt yourself right. way more when it's sand because you take for granted how it's just sand. It doesn't hurt that much. I actually took that into like personally because I was surfing pipe and, you know, pipe is really shallow and I was like charging, but yep. I had my helmet on and I was like, no trouble. I was being careful with the reef as well. But I came back and I actually went to my hometown and I pulled into a barrel and it was just sand, but it was quite shallow. And I literally grazed a bit of my skin off because I just went full on and you just get so mellowed out by the sand bottom that I think actually it tends to be more dangerous than the actual reef.
Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer?
To be honest, I have no I mean, I love surfing some reef barrels, but also some beachy barrels is pretty fun. And like a little beachy, you never know kind of what type of wave you're going to get. So it's always like a bit up in the air, but I think I love both.
The Paris 2024 Olympic surfing competition will be staged in Tahiti, as you know, in the world famous waters of Tiapo. What do you know about those waves and those waters? I mean, from what I understand, it's completely different, but you also where you work in the waters, where you surf off the coast of Portugal is somewhat similar.
Yeah, I think so. We have plenty of reef as well, and a lot of barrelly waves just formed by reefs. So I think it is different if maybe just living off somewhere else, but Portugal, I think, is quite similar. So I don't see that much difference. Obviously, it's a way more intense wave because if you see the videos, you see the wave got no back. It's the whole ocean into it. So I know it's going to be quite intense, but we do have a couple of those here in Portugal, and it's great to train here.
And in the moment when you're about to go, what's that feeling like in the reef world? What's that feeling? I mean, is it any different at all when you're, I mean, is it going to be like more intense because it's reef?
I reckon so too. Reef is actually, like I said, it's quite dangerous. So I'm 100% going to take my helmet. Just not even that I'm too scared of it. I just think it gives you an extra confidence. And it is the difference is, like I was talking about the sand, is when you go for the sand barrel, you kind of already, you're okay with getting smashed. But like when you go on the reef barrels, you kind of, I think, tend to be a bit more careful because you know how much is on the line.
Can you, I just noticed, can you show me your forearm? Is your left forearm? Is that a tat?
I just added. I have the Olympic rings. And now I wrote Tokyo 2020 and I got Paris 2024 at the bottom.
You're going to run out of arm after, you know.
I left some space for LA and like even Brisbane. So I left some space still. But yeah, I literally just added it. Still got some tape on it.
That is so cool. That is, you know, once and forever an Olympian now, right?
100%.
Your dad's Portuguese. Mm-hmm. Your mom's Welsh, quite a combination. Which of your traits do you get from your dad and then your mom?
I think like personality wise, I get a bit of both. I got quite a bit of a mellow side, which I think comes from my mom. But like my mom as well, but my dad was very, very competitive. And I think that's one of my biggest strong suits is how competitive I am. I'm kind of like a dog with a bone. I don't like to let go for any chance. It can be in the ocean competing or even just like have a fun game of football. I'm so competitive that I just don't like losing. And I go to any extreme to win. So yeah, I think I got a little bit of both, but my dad's suit came a bit more. Competitiveness is a bit stronger in me.
Do you ever cheat in like family games? Ever? Like maybe?
tiny bit. Once in a while.
Okay, you're human.
I'm human, yeah.
Do you feel like there's a Welsh side of you and a Portuguese side? It's kind of the same question, but
I mean, because my mum came to Portugal like such a long time ago. She actually lived more here than she did in the UK.
Okay.
She's been in Portugal for almost like 45 years, I think. And she almost speaks better Portuguese than me. So when I came to life, she was already here for about 20 years, maybe 10, 20 years. So she was already embraced quite a bit of the Portuguese culture. So I end up actually having way more Portuguese in me than Welsh. I've never been to Wales. I would love to go, but I never experienced the full on. The closest I get is hearing my grandma speaking and she speaks Welsh, like fully like Welsh with her sister. So that's the closest I get to it. Mm-hmm. But I would have loved to learn, but even my mom knows only a few words. The younger generations never actually learn because it's such a difficult language.
Yeah, I imagine it is. What role does personal style play in your sport?
How so?
I mean, it's not all mechanics. So when you go out there, there's a lot of you.
Well, true. Yeah. Right? I never think about it too much, but I think sometimes I watch some surfing. I love to watch the old school guys surfing. I thought they were like had a lot of power in their surfing. And I kind of based my surfing on that. And I think I give more power than actually style per se, I would say. I think quite a few girls are way more stylish than me in the surfing. But I tend to use the power as like the impact image.
For sure. It all works, right?
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself when competing in the water? And then I'm going to ask you about land, which is kind of getting to quiet time and other things. But I mean, it's a difficult question because, you know, you're just doing it. You're not really thinking about it. But can you describe that?
I think I'm quite ruthless in the water. Like I said before, I'm very competitive. So it tends to be quite a big trait on me. Because when I go in the water, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be my biggest idol, but when I go in the water, I'm not thinking of that. I'm just thinking, I want to win. I'm going to go to these lengths to win. And out of the water, yeah, I would be, you're going to be my idol, but in the water, I'm going to give it my all no matter who you are. And outside, I think is that part, that outside the water, I think I'm quite mellow. I like to chat. I like to have a good conversation with some friends. It's like that side, I leave it just to the ocean or any sports that I'm playing. But I think I'm quite mellow and chill outside.
In surfing, is there anything like in many, many other sports, there is a little bit of, a lot measure of intimidation or, and again, just between the lines or just in the water, but people carry themselves differently. And not that you want to intimidate somebody, but you know, you're you and they're trying to take what's yours. Do you get where I'm going here?
Yeah, exactly. When I like going surfing, I go in the water and I think I'm the best out there. Nobody's going to beat me. If I do my surfing, nobody's going to beat me. And that's maybe a bit of confidence and a little bit of arrogance in the water. But I think we need that. And when we're outside, I tend to be way more, I don't know, like, I obviously I respect everybody to their own thing, but yeah, when I go in the water, I tend to be really confident of what I do and my skills. So I tend to be like put myself a bit more in a higher level, like in a pedestal. It can be other people not like agree with me, but it's what is in my head. So it's what I think. I'm the best. I'm going to beat everybody. And yeah. I came here to win.
Well, you have to. I mean, or else what are you doing?
Yeah. If you're competitive, it's always the mindset. No matter who you are, if you're a sports person, if you want to win, that's the, no matter what you say, that's what is
Yeah,
in
I mean,
your
you're
head.
The select, what are there going to be, 24 quota spots for women. I mean, the best 48 in the world. I mean, yeah, you should be out there going, yeah, it's about me.
Yeah, a little bit. I try not to be like that in the water, outside of the water, but in the water, 100%. Yeah.
Some athletes are inspired by music, others by, I don't know, movies or other things. Apart from being inspired by your fellow athletes, you referred to that. What are your sources of inspiration?
I don't know. I like to listen to a lot of music. I'm very connected to music. Normally the like 80s, 70s gives me a bit of a boost of energy and confidence. So I tend to listen to that before my heats. I would say music is pretty much the go-to.
Are there waterproof ear? Can you do AirPods?
I haven't seen any yet, but I would love to have some.
Somebody's going to make money doing that.
Yeah.
How can that? I mean,
I actually think the Olympics, like they have a partnership with Samsung or something. They need to do that for the ocean, for us, for even if it's just the Olympians. Because it was really cool last the last time they gave us some earbuds. Mm-hmm. Well, Samsung.
Yeah.
in the phone. So this year they could give us the same thing, but maybe waterproof ones. That would be awesome.
See, you're now, you're a budding entrepreneur now, in addition to everything else.
Yeah.
A lot of athletes, principally younger ones, release videos. You know, they like to put themselves out there on social. Mm-hmm. How are you with that?
I'm actually really bad. I tend to be way back to the soul of surfing, and I can't even, if I stop in my car and I see some waves, I can't even think of going and taking a video to post online. I just like, oh my God, there's waves, let's go. And I just do not think of that. Sometimes I got some videos because me and my coach do a bit of video analysis.
Sure.
But it's not that much. So we just want to, we just do video analysis if something keeps going wrong and we can't fix it. Cause normally he tends to just see what I'm doing. And he's like, is this good that you can, I come out of the water. Cause say if my foot was like an inch off place and what I was exactly doing it wrong. So I can fix it almost straight away when I go back in the water. So it's not that much needed video analysis, only when we're really stuck on something. So I tend to not have that many videos unless I'm doing comps or something. So right. I actually think most of my surf, like my good surf, has never been seen by other people. Pretty much just my coach and maybe a couple of people in the water when I'm surfing. It's because, like I said, where I live is not that crowded and it doesn't have loads of people with cameras. So
right.
I tend to surf by myself a lot of the time and most people just don't see it. So I think my social media is not that active in that way. I do try to put something out there because I have quite a few followers that they're quite loyal. So I always want to put something for them. But yeah, I'm actually really bad. Considering it's like my livelihood, I'm quite bad.
Yeah, it's like a brand now these days for people.
Yeah.
Have you? I mean, what about a GoPro? Just sticking it on the front?
Yeah, it could be. But I reckon it's just extra work. I just have to think of putting the GoPro in the board. It's just like right. extra work for me.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah. I support that. That's great. If you had superpowers, which you clearly do, but mm-hmm. if you had different superpowers, what would you have as an athlete?
As an athlete, maybe like being able to breathe in the water would be the best go-to. You just can stay in the ocean. You don't even dehydrate. You just keep being in the water. And if you go under, there's no trouble. You can breathe in the water. It's fine.
That's a good one. how has your sport changed since way back when you first started?
Oh my God. The girls surfing has had an evolution, like a crazy evolution. Even when I remember I started like 18 years ago, pretty much. And there was barely any like actual showings on TV to show what was girls competition or anything like that. I was just some kid who loved surfing and it was very competitive. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. I love surfing and I get to compete for it. So yeah, I'm just going to keep doing that. But I never had from an early age that many role models. So nowadays surfing is huge. Even here in Portugal, it's like almost the second biggest sport after football. It's crazy. Football, I mean, for Americans, is soccer.
Yeah, yeah, no, I got it. I got it. I live in Madrid now. I've been taught.
Yeah, yeah. So it's football because you play with your feet. So it makes sense, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it's huge now. And like nowadays, it seems like the women's surfing in Portugal is actually taking over the men's side. So nowadays, you are considered a full athlete because before it wasn't really a thing. Even my dad, when I was younger and I started, he's like, what kind of life are you going to have? It's not really like a sport that you can follow through and get loads of money for it. And I was like, yeah, I really want to. This is amazing. I don't want to do anything else. And nowadays is our livelihood and is shown everywhere in the world and is part of the Olympics. So it's crazy, the evolution.
And he's evolved into a huge supporter of yours, as you've proven to be right.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yes.
Most of us look forward to a day at the beach, you know, splash around, swim, stuff like that. But for you, it's your office, so it's kind of ruined it for you a little bit, or?
I've never been that much of a beach person. I mean, I loved being in the water. And when I was younger, my dad used to take me on boat trips all the time, but mm-hmm. it was mainly just being in the water. I hated like being in the sand. For me, if I love surfing like beachy waves, but the sand just really is not, I do not love it. I'd rather have some rocks, to be honest. So yeah, never my go-to is like, oh, let's go to the beach and sunbathe. Nah. Let's do something else. Maybe go do some mountain biking or something, or go visit some castles. I don't know.
Do your friends sometimes say, what? I mean, come on, let's go to the beach.
I was like, oh, if we go to the beach, I have to be able to surf, because otherwise it's just going to be boring for me.
So you're ticketed now, Paris 2024, which is in Tahiti. So you talked about Tokyo 2020 and enjoying the opening ceremony and how you were able to feel that vibe. How is that all going to play out? Because you're not going to be able to do opening on the Seine in Paris, are you?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a possibility for us. So it's quite sad in that sense. I mean, the wave is amazing at Tiupu, but the opening and the closing ceremony at the village is just something that we will not experience. Maybe some athletes will be able to go at the end, but I have a challenger straight away, so I need to fly from Tupa straight to California, so it's not going to be a chance. And it's kind of sad for us, because it's such, like I said, it's such a big part of actually being in the Olympics that ends up being kind of a bit more like a separate competition than the actual Olympics for us.
So if I'll say when you win the gold medal, you won't cancel California and get on a plane and go celebrate and do closing and all that?
I don't know. I don't think so, because my work that year is not done yet, and I want to qualify for the CT as well. It would be a very hard choice, but I think I would stick to trying to make into the CT.
My last thought for you. Thanks. This has been so much fun. I'm pulling for you now. What do you want to do down the road? I mean, you're so young and you're so accomplished already, but what's, you know, on the horizon?
Well, the near future, I want to, like I said, I want to qualify for the CT. I want to win a gold medal.
You mentioned LA, you mentioned Brisbane.
Yeah, that's like quite far in the future. I'm talking about like near. I want to qualify for the CT, maybe even go either to the final five or even win my first world champion title in my first year would be my goal too. But yeah, that's as further as I go, is end of 2025 and being world champ.
You don't think about like later, like later?
I mean, I'm so focused at the moment. I have a couple of ideas of what to do later, but I'm trying not to think about it at the moment because things are going so good. So I don't want to get away from my focus and what I want to achieve in the near future.
That is a great mental outlook. Believe me, that is so cool to keep your horizons short and stay in the moment and all those other thoughts. That's tremendous.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yolanda, thanks so much for joining us on this Olympics.com podcast. Good luck. Have a blast and be well.
Thank you, Tom. Bye.
Take care.
This is the Olympics.com podcast.
Well, that was fun, huh? Can't wait to follow Yolanda and the entire list of Olympic athletes competing in the second Olympics overall. That, of course, Paris 2024 in Tahiti. We have so much more surfing original feature content across our platforms here on Olympics.com, including the Road to Tokyo Surfing the Qualifier Series, Shredding Monsters Mavericks, Shredding Monsters Nazare. The Shredding Monster series is amazing. I urge you to check those out. Well, that's it for this episode of the Olympics.com podcast. Thanks for being a part of the Olympic community. And make sure to follow the Road to Paris 2024 Olympic qualification process here as well. It is winding down, as you know, with the two Olympic qualifying series coming up. The last chance for athletes to claim final quota spots in skateboarding, BMX freestyle, breaking, and sport climbing. Paris 2024 getting closer and closer. We'll see you next time.
For more in-depth and original Olympics-related feature content, search our platforms here on Olympics.com.